Welcome to the Feral Minds Podcast. You are right where you need to be, and we are glad you're here. Come seek with us as we laugh at what we have known and find direction from what our curiosities demand we learn.
Well, we made it here today. Start talking. I don't even know where I want to start, man.
It's a good place to be.
Yeah, I suppose. I know you can't always maintain a high frequency of existence in life. You're going to bounce in and out of excitement. But once you've gotten to a level, you feel like you're always going to be there. Nothing's ever going to take the wind back out of your sails. But I've done something that took the wind out of mine. I got myself on an expectation roll through my manifestation attempts. Some expectation in my manifestation.
Maybe some constipation in your manifestation.
Yeah, that's what it feels like, because guess what? My manifestation didn't happen.
What were you trying to manifest?
Well, this particular one, I need a car. I don't know if you're aware of this. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm borrowing your truck.
Yeah.
You're well aware of my lack of
wheels.
I'm
aware by the extra driveway space I have.
And it's been going on for a couple months now. Now, I've kind of kept it in. Again, something else that might have gone wrong with my manifestation constipation. As I'm starting to look at a little bit more of some of the rules, but let me get to what it was I was trying, and then we'll see what went wrong. We'll dive into where it went right and went wrong in a minute. But essentially, I needed a car, and I saw one that was going to be up for a sweepstakes, one okay. that you could win. And it checked a lot of boxes in what was interested for me for a car.
Okay, what kind of car was this?
First and foremost, I wouldn't have to pay for it.
That's always ideal.
Check.
What kind of car was this?
A Subaru.
Subaru what?
A Cross-checker. Now, this one.
A Subaru Crossliner.
See,
that's what you need. A Subaru. Your driving history should be a Subaru Crossliner.
Man, I don't even want to go into the driving again.
I should laugh at that.
Every time I mess up, I hear your voice in my head driving. I made a bad mistake. And I was like, God, maybe he's right. Maybe I am in the 75 percentile. I'm over saying I'm any good at driving. I'm starting to see my screw ups too much.
I just know the next car you have in the passenger seat, it needs to have that driver's ed instructor brake.
No.
You know, that double pedal that they can just pound down.
I was just kind of thinking more the double strap seatbelt and then an old crap handle.
Yeah,
you don't get to take control, but just keep you safer with the control.
I guess this was my sophomore year. I took driver's ed, and schools were still doing it back then. Mm-hmm. So you would go to the school early summer morning, and they had a simulator, which was a single wide that made it feel like you were driving that 77 Caprice Classic, like it had that feel to it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they put you in the car with a group of kids. And by and large, it was uneventful. One day, one kid was pulling up near the front of the school, right? So we're looking out the windshield to the front doors of the school, and he does a whiskey throttle. And we get right to the curb line, and rather than brake, he hits the gas, and we go up the curb. I'm in the back seat. We go up the curb. I hear the student instructor or the driver's ed instructor going, stop, 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 stop. And I can hear him, both feet, pounding that brake all he can.
Pumping it, and
it's so fast. I mean, you're talking about basically a 20-yard run till you're running into the building. So the driver or the driver's ed instructor is just frantically pumping that thing, man. He is trying to stop that car with all the might that he's ever mustered. And we stopped about 10 feet from the door. And I remember in that moment, because, you know, it happens so fast, you don't really know. It takes a minute to realize what happened, right? But in that moment, you're looking around at people in the car. And you know what the driver's ed instructor goes? Like, the first thing he can come out of his mouth, got it stopped. I got it stopped. It's like he had seen
at least we didn't hit
all
it.
The integrity and morals of his, just the time that he spent as a driver's ed instructor. It was all coming down the drain in that one moment where he had to get it stopped, and it worked. And, I mean, thankfully the pedal was there.
You know, there's got to be a lot of stories in the driver education realm.
Oh, I've been there a ton of them. Yeah. Why would, I mean, any place anybody's trying to learn something new.
But then again, are they even that exciting? I mean, what, they ran over a
That
over
was the only
curve.
Excitement I ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had enough time.
Bumped into somebody, or the Sonic, trying to get through the Sonic overhangs was always a good
You give enough time with any type of immaturity, and you're going to have some pretty interesting stories. So you're trying to manifest this Subaru cross-check.
Yeah, I'm trying. Well, no, it's not a cross-check. So to answer your question, what kind of car it is, there's something else that I got real excited about. Another box it checked. I am I'm sold on the need to stop using fossil fuels. So okay. I was excited it was going to be an electric car. Now, I don't want to go into all the stuff with the batteries. I'm not advocating too much one way or the other. But there was a time where, you listen enough to the right advertising, and buying electric cars is the only way to go, or you're not going to.
It feels like the moral high ground right now.
Here's the thing. A little, but it's expensive. Maybe. Like, they aren't giving those things
away. It's expensive, and we don't know about the battery. So I have a hybrid that's got a battery in it, and I bought a hybrid because it gets 38 to the gallon.
Mm.
Not because I'm trying to save dolphins, though I should, right? And it's great.
Well, it's a good byproduct.
Both those lines can cross. But for me, and this is the way it's been, this is the way it'll be for me in electric cars. When you prove it's worth it, when you prove the fuel savings is there, then I'll move for economic reasons. The debate about the climate is not going to move me there, right? But if you give me a near-term effect for me, and I know I should be a bigger person and care more about the mountains and streams, but I think, when you look at automobile history over the years, there's always been an inherent increase in value for any driver when they move up into an automobile. So let's go, for example, from the carriage, mm-hmm. right, to the Model T, to all the clunkers in the 50s, 60s, 70s, to now where we have a really nice car. It's hard to distinguish between the inside of a vehicle and the inside of your home. They're very similar.
Or even between cars.
Yeah.
Like, you could be in a if you're talking brand new price, you could be in a brand new $20,000 car and enjoying yourself and getting to your destination just as well as you can in an $80,000 car.
Yeah.
And I'm not into buying new high-end just for...
But that's happened in the last 10 years of our life.
Yeah,
like, cars used to have a lot of... The cars that you and I grew up in,
oh yeah,
some of them you had to roll down the windows, some of them the windows rolled up, sometimes the doors you couldn't get open. Like, we kind of grew up in, the remnants of a monster truck rally. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the trucks.
Yeah.
Monster truck fodder is kind of what we learned how to drive in.
Yeah.
And now they all feel very similar. They're all very well engineered. They're all very quiet. There's a standardization there. People aren't putting car stereos in or putting, 12-inch Kenwoods and all that.
Is that not happening anymore?
No, I don't think so. I think the cars are pretty good now. And so now you have a very good car, and now you got to find a human incentive to move them into this vehicle that's going to save the world. And I think that's the way to do it. I think as soon as people are like, okay, so I can cut my fuel cost in half, now I think you're going to have those doubters that are like, I don't know about this environmental thing. Now I have direct value, and I can realize that savings.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm interested.
Yeah,
there's always utility that I'm going to buy.
Yeah, what's it do for me?
Correct.
We all love what it will do for everyone else, but what's it do for me? Which is kind of funny you bring that up. That was a point I was going to hit on a little bit later if we get down to any of these manifestation points.
But no, take me back to this. So you're trying to manifest
a
lotto ticket, basically, right?
To an extent, yeah. Let me say what it is. It's a Solterra, Subaru Solterra. They just came out last year. Like, everybody's bringing out their electric cars. I saw an electric Hummer on the way in today.
Well, I haven't seen one of those. What does that look like?
It looks pretty slick.
It's a wind-up toy?
It looks like the truck. It was like a Hummer truck.
It's still a big
box. It was small.
Yeah.
They'd rounded the edges off the box a little bit.
And it's not a hybrid. It's full electric.
It said EV. Now, that's what I was joking. I was like, does that mean that that's the electric shocks? What exactly is electric on that Hummer?
It means they can charge a battery.
Electric ventilation.
Charge a phone battery.
Yeah. That's. I wasn't sure what it meant, but it looked like potentially a lot of police are going that direction.
Okay.
But anyway, this was Subaru's step into it. And the reason I got excited about theirs, kind of like what you said, I've had my eye on a Subaru Crosstrek for a while. And I've been very interested in one of those, intending I was probably going to buy that. And the only thing I said that would have kept me from it is I've had this conversation with my son for a while because he's coming up on 16. So, there's what's your car going to be?
Yeah.
This is some talk that's been going on a while. It's been in the brain. The thoughts and intent are there. And so I feel like let's incorporate this manifestation thing. Oh, and some of what has brought it up lately, I've seen this meme going around that says they'll say, like, scientists call it quantum physics, and atheists call it placebo effects.
Yeah.
Witches call it casting spells.
I always picture the
Christians call it prayer. Like, that's, and then one of, I think it's the spiritualists call it manifestation. So as we're sitting here calling it manifestation, I guess apparently we're labeling ourselves as spiritualists.
It's how to think what you want in your life, right?
A little. We touched on it with the food.
By tinkering with the quantum fields.
I think, therefore I am.
And I love it when they get the quantum fields out,
though.
The quantum fields. Like, can I go running in the quantum fields? They got stainless steel stalks of corn. What is going on in the quantum fields?
They don't know. They can't tell you.
So that's a great place to tell you how to do something.
Yes.
Get over in the quantum fields where nobody knows what's going on.
That's where everything
is. That's where your solution is.
Yeah, God is in the quantum field.
So it's a red curtain. It's a red curtain.
And it's hard to deny some of the effectiveness of it. Because, you know, again, it goes back to what humans have been saying, the higher thinking philosophers and different ones of those, the I think, therefore I am. Back in the early 1900s, there was a big movement that came out right when quantum physics came about this ability for us to be co-creators. And yep. That's what I like.
Okay.
As opposed to saying manifestation.
So in your mind, when we go into the quantum fields, do you think we are accessing godlike power?
Well, that's why I call it co-creation. So what you're doing, so to speak, is you're here to be your individual expression of what God can provide through you on this planet.
Okay.
And then what we do collectively, that's more the godlike consciousness. Okay. That's where we as individuals can't see. That's where our separation from God, kind of so to speak, has to happen.
Okay.
But you don't get to create in any space that is outside of God.
Well, so, yeah, you were co-creating within his space.
Exactly.
That would be impossible.
Because you're co-creating with your interest and the rest of the world.
Also,
you can't co-create against what anybody else is going on. It's almost like we're all here a little bit in a competition for intent and manifestation energy to see which one of us brings to light our own intent. And I feel that has a better chance of happening. When your manifestation, whatever, has not only the individual, but the whole in mind.
Yeah.
And now, I don't even think that comes up on the six steps of manifestation that I tried to pull up from some website. Could you go look at this? And everybody's got their take.
Yeah, it's YouTube's littered with manifestation material.
And
ways to do it and techniques. And I think when I think about manifestation, it's belief. It's belief in what isn't real with one added kicker. You only have to believe in what you don't know. Manifestation is trying to plug in the reality of what you don't know to overcome the need for belief. So to me, it feels like a step beyond belief. There's I don't quote scripture very well, but there's a verse in Mark, I think it's Mark 11, where Jesus says, pray, believe that you have it, and you will have it. But the belief has to be there.
Yes,
right?
Knock and the door will be open, and you shall receive.
And I think that's a weird... So we've always kind of had this idea of praying and believing, and then realizing some type of feedback from that belief and effort. The idea of manifestation, I think, is kind of... It's stacking semantics on top of belief, but there is a fundamental thing within belief where you truly have to believe in what you don't know. And what I'm trying to do with manifestation...
When is that belief the manifestation?
Well, I want to move beyond what I don't know.
Because that's
I want to trick myself into believing it to be now. Even though I know it isn't now, whereas belief, I stop. Because belief says that I know it not to be, therefore I have to believe for it. Manifestation takes it one step further and say, you don't have to believe for it. It already exists, and you're living in it. And so it's that trying to pull that want and desire to the now and experience all the biology of it and allow it to come to you.
Yeah, it's like you have to believe it and then you'll see it.
That was my YouTube.
It's not seeing is believing. Believing is seeing.
That was my YouTube indoctrination, right? in about a couple hours. I've heard that, yeah, I read the book, The Secret.
And that
gave you some insight into what this is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into manifestation techniques, and you'll come across, there was a 369 that I saw, right? And so I'm going to say what I want 3 times in the morning, 6 times at lunch, 9 times before I go to bed. Well, if you give anything that level of focus and that level of energy, your odds of getting something out of it are going to go up exponentially with the energy you put forth.
Yes.
And so for me, it can get, is manifestation, is this a magician thing? Right? Are we going into some place where, even if you use the term co-creator, now we are somehow playing creator with our God, and we felt compelled to create. I think that's all around us.
Mm-hmm.
We feel
well,
the,
we all do.
We feel
we've collectively created this world that we all share.
Yeah.
And so now I think that one of the...
Technically, these chairs were manifested.
Right. Everything...
Technically, this podcast is manifested.
It all got created from some way, somehow. Now, we don't understand that creation process entirely.
I think we pull out that manifestation. So, like, you know how to build the podcast, right? It's a sequence of energy lined up until you get an outcome. Mm-hmm. You don't know how to manifest a lotto ticket outcome, a binary left-right.
Right. And, I don't know how to manifest this call.
And are you actually serving? And if we think about, like, just what the universe or God or whatever has us here and what we're seeking, does it care that you've got a Subaru? I don't think the universe cares about our materialism. No. I really don't.
It doesn't.
I almost think it doesn't know the materialism is here. When you told me that it didn't pan out, I thought, well, it's an odd thing that you're at any time you lotto ticket something, but you can't give it any more energy. You can't really show the universe that you deserve it or want it or will be a good custodian of it.
Because if you're trying to prove that you are, then you already show you're coming to a place that I'm not. If you see what I mean.
There's this weird
subtlety. Now, and I'm coming from a place of what I've learned from messing up. Like, I'm not sitting here telling you that every aspect of manifestation, I have it down. Write this down, and you will be able to manifest the life you want. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I am saying that I've thrown enough manifestation poo on the wall that I've seen some stick. And now I'm trying to look back and find out what I did right to make some aspects stick, and then what I did wrong to make other parts stick. And I think there's multiple ways you can go into that.
How do you separate manifestation from just focus and effort?
I don't know if you do. Because a little bit of what we talked about on this, there's no way that you can go against the conditioning or the current reality more than it will allow. It's like a big ship you've got to try to turn. You know, your manifestation isn't just going down and picking up an aircraft carrier and saying, nope, aircraft carrier, go this way. You know, I wasn't going to win this car, but now I am.
Yeah.
And everything else that was going to line out won't happen now because I said I want to win. And when you try to manifest something that is that juxtaposed, that's that against the grain of what's already happening, then you don't co-create. You're trying to... I don't know.
It's a zero sum because for you to win that car, somebody else had not to, or however many thousands signed up for it, they had not to as well. And so I think when you're looking at binary outcomes, I don't know. Like, if manifestation is a belief of motion going forward in spite of resistance, and so I'm believing for an outcome, and as the resistance comes my way, I will use the belief to stave off the resistance that's telling me, no, this isn't going to work, or no, you're not going to get it, or you have that back and forth. I think when you have a binary type lotto outcome, like if we all could just learn how to manifest a lotto ticket, then we would all just be at home on the couch and the world wouldn't really be moving. So I don't think that's in the world's interest.
Exactly.
But if you were manifesting yourself into a different version of yourself, I think the universe, again, because you're here following your curiosities. You don't know what you're supposed to be. All you're doing is following your interests and your curiosities, and that's how the universe is moving you, or your God is moving you towards your purpose. I don't think that the universe cares if you get to your purpose in a Subaru or on foot. I don't think it sees at that levels, but I don't know. I just, it doesn't feel like that's in the natural benefit of mankind.
Well, that's what you've got to, I guess, kind of hop in the lane with what creation is trying to give you then. And I feel like the way you do that is by understanding what you truly want. You know, because one of the things you said right there was exactly right. All right, so let's all manifest winning a lotto ticket, and then here, poof, here's a bunch of money. Now everybody's happy, right? No, because that is everyone's conditioning to believe that money's going to make them happy, and it really won't. So therefore, trying to go get that isn't going to fall into line, because you probably have a larger manifestation goal of happiness as opposed to a pile of money. You just think that pile of money is your path to happiness. It's kind of one of those thank God for unanswered prayers kind of thing. Like sometimes we don't know what we want. Yeah. Again, here, me, with what I didn't get, for some reason, some way, shape, or form, I didn't line up with this.
You weren't supposed to get it.
And now, well, hold on a second. See, there's a few different ways you can look at this. Because I saw my manifestation consultant yesterday.
You have what? Man, were you behind a 7-Eleven in an alley, and was the person wearing a sleeping blanket as a coat?
It's a poncho.
Okay.
No, just
as long as it's all weather, it'll be just fine. No. Okay. All right. So you're sitting on the curb, slight smell of garbage in the air.
And so what I'm realizing is that you've got to know what you want.
Okay.
And you might be right, even though you didn't get it. See, with manifestation, there's so many things you're trying to control, or at least with the one I'm doing. So with this car I was trying to win, I was trying to control what I'm going to get, how I'm going to get it, mm-hmm. when I'm going to get it,
yeah.
where. There is a whole lot of specificity that I brought to this manifestation.
It was a yes, no. Like, it was a black line. You had to have it or you didn't. It'd be literally like pulling a rabbit out of a hat or not.
Mm-hmm. And so, and this could go with any of them. Like, so basically, I'm sitting at A, and I've decided I wanted to manifest point B.
Mm-hmm.
And then along that road, my conditioning was wrong, so I wasn't going to get to B. And then, so the way my manifestation consultant put it is, well, you're going to maybe end up here at C, but it took that energy of trying to manifest B to get you to the real goal of C. And in his description, the C was off the line. Like, it was A and B, and then you ended up down here. Now, for me, I'm not done with this one yet. I don't think that my A, I want to win a Subaru, B, here's winning a Subaru, C, it didn't happen, never try again. I'm looking at this to realize, I see what I've learned. I'm going to reapply it. And all I've done is kick my C further down the line.
Okay.
So I've got A, I want to win this Subaru. B, somebody else won it.
C, I'm going to steal it.
Yeah, I'm going to go find Kirby B. I'm going to let him know he's driving my Subaru, and I'm taking it back. That's the guy's name that ended up winning, Kirby B.
Well, now you told the world.
Well, they told the world. They finally sent me the email.
Congrats, Kirby B. Yeah. You the man.
Yeah, I'm real excited for you.
Drive it like you want it.
You're driving my Subaru around. No, that wasn't
lock
my.
Lock it at night.
Obviously, that wasn't my. My C is down the road a little further.
Okay.
I'm not done with this.
Are you still hanging in for the Subaru?
Yes, I am.
So you got to find another sweepstakes, or are you going to buy one now? Because technically, like, if you went out and bought one.
I'm doing both.
Well, that's manifestation as well.
Now I don't know where a sweepstakes is going to come, and I can't keep putting the time on it.
See,
I figured that out. I've got to sit in a place. You've got to believe you're already there. That's the trickiest thing. And you even touched on this earlier. You have to already be coming from a place of,
you have to take
this
a belief
is what
out.
I have. Which is weird, because you're trying to get to a place of, I don't have
that's
this,
what
let
I'm
me
saying.
Get it.
You, belief can't be there. Belief has to come out of it, because you only believe in what you don't know. And the idea behind manifestation is, I know it to be a reality, therefore it will come to me. And I think that's the tricky part, is the gap between belief and this idea that I don't have to believe for it. It exists now. And in a little bit, we're talking semantics. And sometimes I feel like
but people, those semantics are where the magic
out,
is.
All right, but people pull out manifestation only in big terms, right? If I want to win a Super Bowl, I manifest. If I'm gonna build a fence in my backyard, I go to Home Depot and I build it. Did I manifest the fence?
Yes, did.
I did.
That's manifestation.
I did. Did I manifest the Super Bowl tickets?
Everything you got.
I don't know. I don't know. And again, we're trying to get an idea of, is there a gap between manifestation and just applying focus and energy and getting the outcome from that focus and energy?
For me, I
think there does. And so I think when you're trying to manifest something on a binary outcome, but you don't have any way to pour energy into it, I'm going to go I'm just going to conclude that you technically haven't earned it. And I don't believe that Subarus are falling from the heavens. And I also don't believe that backyard fences are falling from the heavens. I believe there has to be energy directed in order to get what you want. And when we're talking playing bingo or the lotto or I'm in Vegas, I don't think manifestation has a role to play in that, because it's a binary I win, I lose. I win, I lose. And only you can win and lose. And if we are truly one whole, then that may not be in the whole's interest. And, right. and you just don't have visibility of that.
Yeah. They're trying to hit the specificity. We'll is a surefire way to make it not come.
Yeah.
So, like I said earlier, you know, what made me get interested in this was that I feel like I've had some success already up to this point. I got back in 2012, had hit a point in my life where I was completely unhappy, had been that way for a minute, didn't think anything could go any better. And we've talked about it. You know, you're 15 years into the career that was supposed to make you everything you wanted in yep. life, and you don't
it's
want...
ran its course.
You dislike every aspect of it.
Yep.
So... I sat down and did some meditation and a manifestation, a little bit of a journal.
Okay.
Now, this one, it wasn't, you know, what car do you want? What house are you going to be in? Like, it wasn't that sort of a deal. But I have a little journal book that I...
Meaning
that
it
I
wasn't materialistic?
No.
Yeah. So what did you journal?
Well, for that one, a life of freedom, of perfect health, and of spiritual clarity. I mean, it's basically mind, body, and soul, all in alignment, and happy and joyful. And I, at that time, in 2012, when I first did that, I didn't put anything on it. Okay. As a matter of fact, I forgot about the book and even a little bit of what I had manifested. I mean, if you talk about not getting attached to an outcome, I mean, I forgot that that was even going to have an outcome.
Yeah, you can't be constipated if you're not trying.
Yeah, exactly. If you ain't pushing, it ain't a problem.
Then nothing going to happen. You're never going to get that splash.
And then as I started living my life, but with these new thoughts that I didn't even realize it happened, I created belief and a new thought system in that 40 days of meditation manifestation that I had done that started echoing throughout my existence of happiness, of freedom, of understanding, of acceptance, joy, whatever. You know, all these wonderful
all
components.
Mental states. Mental
yes,
states.
All wonderful mental states. Yeah. And I start seeing those growing in my life more often and then things starting to change. You know, getting out of a job that I'm not happy in, a job I like a little better. Getting out of that one, getting into a life I like a little better. And then next thing I know, I'm living a life of complete freedom and ease. And I saw that. I knew that had come out to play. The one that I didn't touch on enough that really spoke to me on manifest is in health. I manifested a healthy body. I believed that I was already healthy. And what's funny...
You put energy into it.
I did.
It took a lot of energy to get there.
And the reason I was able to do that, though, what gave me the motivation for the manifestation was the belief that I was enough. I already was...
You qualified.
...healthy. Okay. I already had it.
Yeah.
And I came from that place of already being healthy. I honestly, if you look at pictures of me, I'm a lot healthier than I was in my late 30s. A lot. But in my late 30s, I had that mindset still of I am in great shape. If I just hit the gym for a few more weeks, I'd top this off and I'd be fine. I've been rolling with that mentality for about 10 years. It wasn't near as true 10 years ago as it is now. But in my belief, it was there. And now how I was able to delusionally get myself to believe that I was healthy as a very lackadaisical, eating whatever I want, drunk half the time, late 30-year-old man.
A little bit of lying there.
Somewhere I got delusional enough to think, man, I'm a pretty healthy fella.
Or you just...
And then the lie started becoming true. So when I say stuff sticks to the wall... In that time, believe me, I threw a whole lot of other stuff on the wall that didn't stick. But when I look at some of the manifestations that have come about, the life I live, the health I have, the mindset that I'm sitting in, that did start from a belief that I would get here well before I was here.
Yeah.
And now I got triggered out how to believe that I've won that car before it gets here.
Not believe. You have to realize you've won the car.
Yes.
You only believe in what you don't know.
Yes. Yeah. And that's one of the things I messed up throughout this one. I did a whole lot of,
now,
I'm
saying that. I'm saying that like I know, I mean, I'm not a manifester. I like to believe work, effort, sometimes obsession. Sometimes obsession seems to get me over the hill. right? When I'm facing some element of the unknown in anything I'm working through, if I'll just buckle down and get obsessed for it a minute or two, and learn what I'm doing. I had this feeling when we were doing, we started learning to edit video. I didn't know it, and I was frustrated by it. Mm-hmm. And I knew I could learn it, but I knew I was going to have to develop a little obsession for a minute and work some long days, and then I'd pop out on the other side, and yes, I will have manifested my education in video editing. Well, in reality, it's a knob that I've learned. I did this when I started building rental houses. Mm. I tell myself, this is your thing right now. This is your obsession, right? Be in the obsession and be obsessed. And allow that obsession to pull the knowledge through you. And for me, it's not always healthy. Like, I have to overdose a bit. I have to take one topic. And it's not like, so we go back to video editing. It's not like, okay, I'll come in here. The next 5 days, I'll spend the hours of 8 to 10. And I will accumulate the wealth. I can't do it that way. Mm. I had to spend 2 days working 14 hours. And then I knew it. And so that's how manifestation works for me. It's when I develop an obsession, I don't try to envision that I already have it. I envision that I am in fact now well developed enough that I can earn it, and then I go earn it. And so that's the process for me. Obsess, go after it, earn it, but earn it through the time you spent learning through obsession.
But there's still a lot of belief in that. Now, yours is
I don't
is
know
a
if there is for me, dude.
Well, like, no, there is. There's belief
in myself.
There's belief in yourself that you're going to do getting, it and that you have belief on the backside.
I'm not getting real red curtain about this. I'm not going on YouTube. I'm not rubbing my hands together trying to get the manifestation just right. I know for me to succeed, it usually involves obsession, but not a long time. I'm not going to be there for a long time or I'd burn out on it. I have to go ahead and basically go underwater in this topic for a while, and then I pop my head up out on the other side with a greater understanding, but I really have to buckle in, and I've got to exclude the outside. I got to get quiet on it and allow myself to learn it. And that's got a little harder as I've gotten older. I noticed, man, I don't learn. I used to learn stuff really quickly. You know, and that I always hate hearing people say that stuff. It's just repugnant.
Like, and then when you get older,
I'm a real fast learner. Like, I'm smart.
We all.
Or for you, I was in special classes.
Oh, that's a whole other show. I want to hit that show.
The point is, like, how focused can you get? Because I really think success and a lot of things that we realize in life are just a product of getting focused. Mm-hmm. How can I get focused, quiet my mind on this topic, basically all the other things that I wanted, thought I needed, or was spending time, energy, and effort on, I get those out of the way, and I focus on one thing, and then I run a sprint on it, and then hopefully I have it. It doesn't always work, but that is something I've had success with.
Well, I think it does work. Again, I think a word that I haven't brought up yet that would be good is when you're manifesting, you need to be in alignment. The more in alignment you're already with your manifestation you're looking for, the more mm-hmm. likely it's going to happen.
So what are you going to do now? Take me back to the story.
So
keep borrowing my car for the next 6 years. Don't you just need to put you on my insurance?
Yeah, maybe so.
I hope you're covered. I looked into that.
I must thank you. I can't tell you much how much I appreciate it. Not only borrowing the truck, but allowing me to engage in these months of trying to do this. Honestly, I'm sitting here today with
your manifestation came out really of my did. Vehicular ass. I'm realizing that now.
It was something that
so I've been enabling this bullshit the whole time is what you're telling me.
Yes.
I've been co-compliant in something I didn't even know was something.
Yeah.
I didn't even know was some wishing well.
In my failed co-creation.
Oh, I hadn't connected those dots.
It's been delayed. In my delayed co-create. But now here's what I will say. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go buy a Subaru Crosstrek that I had been dreaming of for years before I had found out about the Solterra thing. Like, to an extent, I almost wonder if I just tried to ram too many manifestations together, one of them didn't work, or I just, you know, I didn't put the right intent towards it.
I also think there's multiple things
I can see where I went right. And wrong.
We pull out that manifestation. Right. We pull out that manifestation word on stuff that we don't think we can do. Right? You know you can go to a car dealership and buy a car with the money that you earned through the work that you created. That you technically will manifest this car when you buy this car off the lot. That technically is an exercise in manifestation. It wasn't lottery style. It wasn't not there and then there in some type of magic way, but you still are participating in manifestation.
Yes, and I'm still working two of them. Like, I'm not done. I'm going to buy the car that I said I was going to buy years ago.
Okay.
And my C, the winning, I'm not done. Because when something sparked in me when I entered that contest, there was something that I need to...
Denial is a big flame.
It might be. I'm not kidding. There's a chance that I'm crazy, delusional, but I think it needs a little bit of that.
As long as you got my truck, I guess it's okay. Just keep rolling.
We'll get that. Okay, we'll get that rectified. So,
but what are you going to do? How are you bringing this one to life? How are you going to bring it right back around to you? We're not going to steal it. You're not going to carjack Mr. Kirby.
You've got to come with a much more open idea towards your manifestation. I'm going to take off the restraints of time, how, when,
mm-hmm.
where.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, just get rid of that.
Okay.
Stick to the what and the why.
Okay.
And if you can keep your focus on the what, knowing your intent. Mm-hmm. I mean, if not, you know, it needs to be broader, though. Like I said, the ones I've had success with are things like I want overall health. I want overall happiness. You know, thank goodness those two worked out.
Yeah, and the universe can imbibe in that. Like that's clearly in the universe's benefit.
Yeah, I was in alignment with what God had in store for me whenever mm-hmm. I did those. And so now I'm trying to figure out how to line up with my next modes of transportation.
Yeah.
And then, therefore, line up with this idea that I feel like not only interests me, but society as a whole. I really would like to think that this idea of manifestation is something that's on the bingo card for our species in the third millennium.
Well, if you spend any time on YouTube, you can't help but have tripped across it. And then, yes. Of course, your mind is going to run to, like, what have I not been able to achieve? Let me listen to Rob Dyrdek for a minute, tell me how to manifest in the next 9 minutes. And we've all, like, I've sat through them.
Mm-hmm.
And as somebody who I feel like I've created some things in my life, I think there are... If you look at the prescription, right? The believe, don't worry about the outcome. Don't worry about how. Sorry, that is a better way to say it. Believe in the outcome. Don't worry about the how.
Or the details.
Yeah. Or maybe the better term would be don't get set back when the how isn't entirely apparently clear. Those things, they're ironclad. Like, I believe in that. Is there, can we set a date on it? Can we set a timer on it? Can we make it, you know, a bingo lotto stuff? I don't think we can, but I think if you're believing in something and you're putting energy in it, and not with entire clarity on how it's going to come together,
mm-hmm.
just you feel the universe pulling you that in direction, and you say, yes, universe, I agree. Here comes the energy. I'm not going to worry. It seems impossible now. It doesn't seem that I have the ingredients necessary to get to my goal. But I'm not going to worry about all the ingredients right now. I'm going to focus on what I do know, and I'm going to focus on my goal, and I'm going to try, because again, with this belief that it's already happened, but it hasn't happened, that's going to be a really hard thought to maintain. To lie to yourself like that, because that's what this is. It's a lie. Right?
A delusion.
It's a lie.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, a lie. It's a not truth. It's not here. You're saying, all right, cosmically,
well,
I'm going to attract
then.
It to me, right? Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to lie to yourself in a moment to do that. And I think that's okay as well. I think all those things are fine. Anything that keeps you putting energy towards your goal is going to keep you in the pocket. And as long as you have the belief or, you know, the manifestation, the realization to withstand the resistance that's going to come at you towards whatever you're creating – ultimately, I think, yeah, absolutely manifestation is going to work. If I think manifestation is, think about it, just think about it, but never take energy action outside of that, I think you're just kind of twiddling your thumbs with chance at that point in time.
And when you do that, what you do is you're fostering disbelief. To an extent, a whole lot of manifestation.
What was the step in disbelief there?
Well, no, I'm saying if you don't do some of that, then you're going to fall into disbelief.
I think it's really hard to maintain that lie to yourself. To maintain that. So let's just say right now that I wanted to be the world's greatest stand-up comic. And I want to feel those emotions, and I want to be that person. And I'm just going to be that person. I'm not going to write comedy. I'm not going to go down to Chuckles and bomb. I'm not going to do the things that we know are necessary to become the world's best stand-up comic. I'm just going to sit here and think it into reality. That's a really hard, like, if I told you that was my manifestation trail, you'd be like, wait, you're not going to work on it at all? Yeah. Like, how can it go from zero to nothing when we know all these time requirements and efforts are required? I think that's where it becomes impractical.
Yeah. And so as I think about it, as I run that back through, like, the health idea, that's the way I like. Because when you're starting to put that thing together, like, you have to go do these steps. You have to put this energy towards
it.
I think that when it comes to health, that's a real easy way to see it. Like, no one's going to get healthy sitting around being inactive saying, I wish I was healthy.
Yeah.
I'm never going to believe that health is going to come to me if I don't go move and make myself that way.
If you don't earn it.
So what I kind of have found, like, when you start talking about with the enough, is you have to believe that you are already healthy enough.
Okay.
And that gives you the motivation to get up and then go get healthier.
Okay.
And so from that sense, I feel I have felt that aspect of manifestation. I have been less healthy than I am now. I have been in a state where I wish I was healthier.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of sitting there feeling like I'm going to manifest my healthiness by understanding I'm not, I come from a place of, I am healthy enough. Now what? Well, now I want to go get healthier. And now you're motivated to do it. Whereas if you're sitting from this place of, I'm not enough, now let me go get healthier, that's where you don't ever get up and go to the action. That's where it's hard to apply the energy, because you're sitting underneath a sea of disbelief that you're not even enough to do it. And that is easily seen when it comes to health, or at least it's easily felt for me. When you're sitting there in bed trying to decide if I should go work out or not, when you say to yourself, I'm enough, now what do I want to do with this enoughness? Oh, well, I want to go work out. Whereas if you sit there and say, God, I'm not enough, but if I get up and go work out, maybe I will be. It's hard to get yourself out of bed. I have a hard time getting up to go get something that I don't feel like I already have.
Okay.
And that might be a little bit of the belief.
Is it you've already have it, or you're adequately qualified to get it?
Yes. You're enough.
Yeah.
You're enough.
Okay.
And now what do I want to do with enough? I think that that's a little bit more of where the belief can come from. Maybe don't believe that you already have the car. You already have perfect health. But believe that you are enough, and then allow for that. Because that's, I think, what a lot of manifestation is. Yes, it does take intent. It takes energy. It takes application of your resources. But in the end, you have to get out of the way and allow. It's more about allowing something into your life. And that's why I say disbelief avoidance can be just as important, or even more important, than having belief. Because you've got to take that disbelief out in whatever way you can.
But you're going to have to fight it. Because the idea that, like, I've manifested something that is not currently here, and I'm just going to stay in the steady stream of thought that helps me realize that, you're going to have to fight that. I mean, we're telling ourselves delusional lies, and they don't come easy. You got to keep rekindling that and rekindling that. And I think that also intuitively is something that we just, you're going to struggle to continue to fake something for a limited amount of time. But that's why I think when you dump energy and effort into it, you're not faking it anymore. Right? So I'm not faking the fact that I'm good enough or I'm not good enough. I'm exerting the effort to validate it for myself.
And then that empowers the belief.
Good enough. Mm-hmm. And at certain times, you're just moving forward, right? You're moving forward with whatever's interesting you, whether or not you think you're adequate enough or not. Even these terms, like, do you think the Creator laid us out knowing that, like, in the 2020 era, there's going to be all these people walking around going, I'm not enough. Are you enough? Are you enough? When do I become enough? Where do I go get more so I can become enough? And I'm anxious about all of it. I mean, we've got a world full of people walking around with anxiety right now.
I know.
And it's just become this strange conundrum where everybody's anxious about something. And I don't know that we aren't anxious about the fact that we're just not realizing our potential. I think a lot of anxiety is just your body telling you you could be doing more.
Mm-hmm.
You could be doing better. Or perhaps you're doing something that's not inherently in your interest. But anxiety has a purpose. There's a reason why it's here. And numbing it the way we do, I think, denies its voice. Anxiety's trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
Right? And the answer is not, in my opinion, the answer is not swallowing a bangload of pills till I go numb. The answer is, why am I anxious? What's the source of the discontent? It's facing that. And I think when we're walking around swallowing pills to numb our anxieties instead of listening to the anxiety, like the anxiety is technically your friend in the same way. I mean, it's a precursor to fear, right? It is telling you something.
Yes.
And when you numb yourself against it, you don't get to hear what it wants you to know. And I don't think we should be scared of anxiety. I think we should be curious about anxiety. And the more curious we get about anxiety, the more we'll overcome that anxiety, in my opinion.
I agree. I can't stop thinking about a Brent Cobb song, Shine On Rainy Days. I was saying something the other day. You know, you can enjoy getting high all you want to in life, but if you don't find some way to enjoy getting low, then you don't get to get back high
again. Well, yeah.
Like, you've got ups and downs in life.
It's going to be
You're
there,
never right? going to stay in one spot. With a little bit of how I started off, you know, when we started off the show. I have some high frequency living that I do. There's some times I'm in a mood that I don't know how I could ever come down from. But you always do. You always will. You're going to have something that brings you back down to earth, so to speak. And then you just got to find your way back up the ride.
You got to manifest. Don't let your manifestation fester.
No, but understand that festering is important. For some reason, I'm swimming down in the dredges of unmanifestation to learn or to maybe share my frustration with it. I think that this isn't something just for me. It's not something just for a guru, Chopra, or anybody else. I mean, there's a whole bunch of manifestation gurus out there. I'm a manifestation goofus.
Well, and I think
and
that's
I've had some success. I'm probably 50-50 with.
I think that's when you turn on YouTube and you try to get a feel for manifestation, nobody talks about when it doesn't work out.
No,
everybody's going to tell you, this is what I do, and this is why I'm successful. And, of course, there's this pretense of success that we have to put forward in any of these conversations that is important, right? Or else why would I be listening to you?
Yeah.
If you weren't successful, then why do I care?
I don't know. I don't know if I've done a great job of explaining to everyone how completely happy
I am. I think manifestation is a modern-day curiosity for a lot of people. And for some people, they, you know, especially if you're younger, if you're in your late 20s, early 30s, you want to believe in something that's going to take you to your highest version of yourself, and you don't quite know how to get there. And so that's where manifestation comes along, and it helps you with that next goal. And I think there is something in manifestation, as long as we don't treat it like a lotto, as long as we can apply energy to it. So as long as we can prove to not only to ourselves, but to the universe that we're worthy of it, then whether or not you believe you have it now or not, if that works for you, that's a great technique. Believe it now, work for it. Don't believe it now, work for it. I think the outcomes are going to be similar. If you apply focus and effort and you don't, and again, you're going to have resistance and you got to push through that. But whether or not I believe that I have it now or I believe that it's coming, as long as I can withstand the resistance to stay in the pocket and develop whatever I'm building, eventually I'll have it.
And that resistance will be less the more you're in alignment.
It's however you get there. In my opinion. Believe it, paint it forward, you know, visualize it. Whatever work, it's going to work differently for everybody.
So you had an interesting thought there about, well, disbelief, can you still come? So I guess basically what I'm getting at, we're talking about manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
So do we believe in the reciprocal? Like, we're talking about trying to find something positive that we want to build for ourselves. Do you believe that if you sat around saying, I'm a fat loser, unhealthy, nobody likes me,
it's going to be
you
harder.
Would manifest that?
It's going
like,
to be
so
harder.
So could negative manifestation? We're sitting here positive manifestation can't come. I guarantee you negative manifestation
that's not,
comes.
But, all right.
So here's my point. We don't have a choice. You are manifesting something with every breath, with every intent, with every thought and motion you make. You don't have a choice but to be part of an instrument of creation on this planet. That's what we're here doing. Now, the point is, choose what your creation, what your contribution looks like. And then I guarantee you can think yourself into a negative contribution. So to me, I can think myself into a positive one. Now, my problem is that we can't get to the specifics. Because I have no doubt I have positive manifestation in my life. Like, there's a reason that I feel that I want to sit here and talk about this. It's not because I have a hard knock life and everything's gone wrong.
Yep.
I have a ton of blessings and things to be gratitude for in life. And that's why I decided to try to go see what I could do. Let me go flex this manifestation muscle. I definitely see where some positive intent, some positive thought, and some positive dreams have gotten me.
It helps you visualize too, right? I think that's the other kind of X factor here with manifestations. You are painting a picture. I think you could do that with belief as well, but it is something that you are trying to envision in your mind as if it's already happened. And so if you're envisioning something, I think that's helpful. That's helped me in a number of places where I'm building into the unknown. To have some vision is powerful, without a doubt. And I think that's a big piece in manifestation. But I think you can, without a doubt, positive thought is going to get you there faster. Will there be some disbelief along the way? I think there will be. I think it's very almost disingenuous to believe that I can maintain a 100% positive outlook on anything I'm trying to do, especially if it has resistance and if it's hard. And again, at all point in time, I do believe we should be doing something hard. I think that's mm-hmm. what we're supposed to be doing.
Conflict.
We're supposed to be growing through whatever resistance we have in front of us. And so I think that comes with some of that belief that resistance is going to come, but I'm going to keep plodding my way through it and working towards that visualization that I have rolling around in my head.
And if nothing else, even if the end isn't what you visualized,
yeah.
If you visualize that it's going to be a positive ending, then you might get to the end of it and say, oh, crap, my Subaru's not sitting here waiting for me. But look at that Corvette. Who would have thought? Like, I undersold myself on my manifestation.
It's been waiting for me the whole time.
I don't know what's out there. So I might take some of the specifics off my manifestation. Maybe that'll take the brakes off of it. But I am continuing to manifest positivity out in front of me. Even when that positivity didn't look exactly like I wanted it to, whenever those contest results came out, there is still a big old pile of positivity that I've put out there into my future in some way, shape, or form. And I need to stop trying to be picky on how it manifests. And I'm just going to sit back, be curious, and allow it.
And go buy a damn car.
Oh, that's the easy.
Give me my truck back, would you?
Fine. You manifest me giving the truck back.
I'm glad. I haven't been trying. I'm going to visualize it right now in my driveway with the oil stain, and my kids are going to be jumping in the back, and I'm going to have to yell at them on occasion. Yeah, it's right there. It's there now. Go buy your car.
All right, done. Thank goodness we got that resolved. I didn't know it was the whole time I was waiting on you to need your truck back.
It turns out you needed my manifestation in order for yours to kick in.
Hey, it's co-creation.
It makes
sense.
We're
all working together. Let's do this, people.
All right.
We would like to thank you for listening to the Feral Minds podcast. Hopefully we triggered some curiosity that will have you seeking more. Remember, your mind is meant to run. Slap some sneakers on that bad boy and take it around the block. If you'd like to connect with us or enlist our feral thoughts on a problem in your life, visit us on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, or at theferalminds.com. Also remember, our thought line is always available. 24/7, we don't even allow it to sleep. And we want to hear from you. That number is 866-340-3394. Again, that number is 866-340-3394. We look forward to hearing from you.